New Orleans educators are scrambling to serve the few students they have left. Only one-third of New Orleans students are back this fall, yet it is still hard to find enough buildings and computers and teachers. Of course, the schools were a mess before Katrina. What is new this fall is the extraordinary number of people trying to make them better and the different ways they're going about it. This week, we'll hear three stories of the rebirth of New Orleans schools. Here's NPR's Larry Abramson.
Ms. Butler, can you come up to the office?
At the main office of Fisher Elementary School in the Algiers neighborhood, Principal Dame Bolden is in the middle of a drama that's being replayed all over this city. Bolden stands behind the counter, dressed in a white shirt with D. Bolden Principal embroidered on it. She's trying to figure out what to make of two young girls who've shown up for school with no documentation.
Tatiana, you are now a fourth grader.
Tatiana's story is so complex, it almost defies retelling. The 9-year-old is being raised by her grandmother, but a family friend has brought her to school today, along with her 5-year-old sister, Marguida. The kids have no school records, no proof of residency. It's not even clear they've been immunized.
Was the little one ever in Head Start or anything, or daycare center, nursery school? Nothing. She's never been in anybody's school. Okay. We need to get in school.
It would be funny if it weren't so sad. Tatiana apparently missed most of the last year of school, and if she's like the other kids here, she was in need of help before the storm. 5-year-old Marguida stands peeking over the counter, looking forlorn, with her backpack on. The family friend, Akeisha Green, tells Bolden that Marguida will be crushed if she's sent back home because she hasn't had her shots.
And I ain't know nothing about no 4-year-old shots. I found out it was 5 of them that she was missing.
Fisher Elementary and the surrounding neighborhood of Algiers were not heavily damaged by the storm, but this school has been taken apart and reassembled. It's no longer part of the New Orleans school system. Instead, it's now a charter school, like more than half the schools that have opened. As a sign of just how mixed up things are, there's another K-8 school run by the state directly across the street. Some charters here feature a specific approach to education. Bolden says the Algiers Charter School Association is still working on that.
Well, each school is in the process of creating a focus. What do we want our school to focus on? What do we want our school to stand for? And we decided that we wanted our focus to be on technology and the arts.
It's still far from clear that this school's new structure will help Bolden deal with children like Tatiana, who have tons of catching up to do. But as an administrator, Bolden says there's one huge difference between the old system and her new charter.
The difference is I can handpick my teachers. As a result, I see more leadership from the teaching staff, enthusiasm. I see more teaching and learning going on.
Bolden concedes she's had a hard time figuring out just how many teachers to hire. The number of students at Fisher keeps rising and falling as parents try to find the best school closest to home. The head of the local teachers union, Brenda Mitchell of United Teachers of New Orleans, says that state overseers have turned this year into chaos by letting schools open at different times under different forms of leadership.
I had hoped that the state was going to live up to what they expected the district to live up to, and that was to have an orderly opening of schools with all the materials and all the staffs in place. That did not happen.
But in New Orleans today, this debate is being drowned out by the sounds of schools opening. At the S.J. Green Charter School, Director Anthony Rakasner is trying to deliver a message to his new 8th grade class.
Much better. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Great. It's me, Doc.
Doc, as the students call him, draws his authority not from his Ph.D. in psychology, but rather from the clear vision he provides.
And here's the goal. The goal is that everybody's name who appears on the homeroom list ought to also appear on the graduation list. That's the goal.
Rakasner is known around town for having gotten New Orleans' first school charter back in 1998. Now he sees the growth of the charter movement as a way to empower those who got left behind under the old school system. It's true, he says, the current setup is confusing, with some schools run by the state and others by the remnants of the school district, still others by an array of charter organizations.
And, you know, if you are more affluent, then you learn to make those choices and you realize that
you know, some level of background and study is necessary to make the successful choice, but not every choice works out. There's simply a certain level of sophistication that you have to acquire in order to make good choices. And that should not be the exclusive domain of folks who have resources.
The charter movement may have helped reopen schools after the catastrophe that was Katrina. The question now is, what's next? Will charters keep blooming in New Orleans, or will the state and city return to a central school district once conditions get back to normal? Robin Jarvis is superintendent of the Recovery School District, the state body that took over many schools here. She says charters have an advantage in New Orleans because they're not viewed with the same hostility as in other places.
Charters are seen kind of as pulling away money from the district. For us, it can't be that way. Their success is my success. When they send me an email or ask me a question or need help with something, I give them the help they need because they are my schools and those are my children.
While many principals of charters hope they can maintain local control over their schools, they have many words of caution. Barbara McPhee is principal of New Orleans Science and Math High School, which used to be a traditional school but is now a charter.
I want to make it clear to everyone, it's a lot of work.
A lot of work because principals and charter school directors are like mayors of a small town. They have to fix everything themselves. The buck stops in the principal's office. In fact, a few bucks landed on Barbara McPhee's desk just as I arrived.
One of the gifts of Katrina here today in my mailbox is a check from the Ben Davis Ninth Grade Center in Indianapolis, Indiana. And it's a check for $242.55 from a movie night that they held for our library. And I don't know how they found our name or anything. I had no relationship with them before.
Acts of human kindness have made it easier to endure the education system's awkward transition, but that charity can't go on forever. And then the school system will face the challenge of going forward without the adrenaline that's still pumping here. Larry Abramson, NPR News.
And you can get a snapshot look at New Orleans schools before Hurricane Katrina by going to our website, npr.org. Tomorrow we have a look at New Orleans, the new laboratory for charter school strategies.